Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Laura Della Corte, and today we are here with the director Ayat Najafi for the film Aftab Mishavad and The Sun Will Rise in Giornata degli Autori section. So how are you today? How are you feeling?
I'm very fine. I'm very excited for the premiere.
Is the first time for you in Venice?
In the festival, yes.
Okay. So my first question is about the plot of your movie. You know, it seems to address powerful and current themes of revolution and civil disobedience. So how did you find the inspiration for this story, and what drove you to explore this specific context using the play of Lisistrata too?
So the answer might be very long, actually.
You can go.
Yes, very good. So I went to Iran. I went back to Iran after 9 years for another movie, which was a French-Iranian co-production. And for that movie, I needed some theater actors because there was also a play inside that that movie. So I went to Iran. I reconnected myself with the theater scene, which I'm from, actually. I'm a theater director. When I was in Iran, I was doing mostly theater. So in my reconnection with the theater scene, they invited me to teach in many institutes, even in the university. They were very happy that I'm there, and I was also very excited. So I kind of reconnected with also my old friends, but also the young generation. And so that movie didn't work out. They didn't give me permission, and they even asked me to leave. And even my producer wanted me to go back. So we were really worried something going to happen. But I couldn't leave Iran because the situation was very tense, and I could feel something big going to happen. It was palpable everywhere that something is going to happen. And I said, no, I have to stay. I cannot leave. So I started to continue teaching, basically. And that was the only reason I was there. So I was teaching. And then the revolution started. And I was in the middle of it because of my students. And then they started to bring in the stories of the street in the room, you know, in the classes. And I was amazed by their bravery. I was amazed by their courage, but also the fact that they really rehearsing for a revolution inside my classroom. They somehow trusted me, or I don't know. So I started to read all the old texts of theater, which are talking about rejecting or, you know, fighting, resisting. From Aristophanes, from Lysistrata, go to, you know, Medea, Electra, go to William Shakespeare, we'll go to Bertolt Brecht, Günter Grass, you name it. Albert Camus, you know, there are plenty of plays talking about revolution, social resistance, rejection, you know. And of course, Lysistrata was the one because first it's a comedy, and I thought, yeah, things are sad enough, we don't need a tragic play, you know, we need... And it's also a woman who rejects a man to have control over her body, you know. And it's all this revolution about, you know. It's really a revolution about I want to control my own body, you know, my mind, of course, and everything. But this is my body. And I thought Lysistrata is the best example. So I started to bring in some scenes of Lysistrata to my classes, and we developed them, and I was like, wow. So this is one thing. And something else happened. So one day I was teaching, and I was very tired. I want to get back home, and I realized I cannot order a taxi because the internet was cut. And every time the internet was cut, you knew something is happening. There was a metro station very close. I thought, I take a metro to the, you know, my parents, where I lived, were really far away from center. So I said, I go with the metro somewhere, and then I take a cab. Probably then outside the center would be relaxed, you know. And the metro station was like, the entrance of metro station was a war zone. You have it in the film, actually, this moment. People throwing stones, and the police shot back with tear gases, and there were slogans, people running. And I was in the middle, like, what am I doing here? You know, because usually when you go to demonstration, you are ready. You know, your brain, your mind is ready. You don't bring your mobile. Definitely, I had my mobile with all information, and I wasn't ready. And people were running, so I decided to go the opposite direction. People said, where do you go? That's a war zone there. Like, you don't go there. And said, like, where should I go, you know? So I was there for a few hours. I really saw I could, like, everything could happen to me. I found a friend who close by, so after a few hours I went to his place and we had a nice evening, and I went to sleep at his place because still I couldn't order a taxi. In the middle of the night he started to shout, to scream, and I woke up, and so he said, one of my best friends is arrested right now and I have all this communication with him on my mobile, so they probably come after me now, so be ready, go, or you know, is your mobile is clean, you know. So I was really like, what am I doing? And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And so instead of running away, I started to write the first draft of this film, you know. What do you do when you're stuck in this situation? You know, what can you do?
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. I have to take a moment. Well, you know, when I watched your movie, I thought that your background as a film and theater director, mm-hmm. we can see it, is reflected too into the film's plot, as you said, which takes place in a confident space during this rehearsal of the theatrical comedy you were saying. So how did you actually manage to, you tackle the challenge to bring in the tension and the energy that you have there of such, you know, restrictive situation, because, you know, you were like blocked there, and as you told us in this moment, you were stuck in there too, so not only your characters but you, yeah. in first person. So how was for you to put all these situation onto the screen?
Yeah, that's basically when I was in Iran, the inside room were always the safe rooms, you know, the bunkers. It was like a safe place, you could be yourself, but it was always a fear of the outside, you know. You make a party, the police come, you know. You gather together, drink with your friends, you know. You always have this inside as a safe place with the strong fear of the outside. Tehran is a very loud city. It's the noises, it's a, like a noise pollution is really high. So you always have the sound of outside. But this time was the street was calling a revolution, you know, in the middle of the night, everywhere, like even in the autobahn that you have, like boop boop, you know, still you could hear the political slogans. So the city was shouting a revolution, and I could hear it when I was inside, at my parents, at my friends, at my classes. I could hear outside. So that was basically the idea. We come inside, we use it as a safe place, that we do whatever we want. We're rejecting the power, the dictatorship, you know. We reject the power of the government. We reject the control, but we still hear that, you know. So that was basically, I thought, the off sound is the main character of this movie, you know, that represent the pressure, the political tension, the dictatorship, and also the fear.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And when actually there is, you know, the sudden entry of four strangers in there, is like, you know, a turning point in the film. So can you just tell us what was the symbolic significance for you, if there is one, and if how did you decide to visually portray that, you know, the outside entering the inside? Yeah.
So that's the only moment, if you remember, that we have this transparent window.
Yeah.
It's always a closed, you know, so that was for me the... This border of inside and outside.
Okay.
And then you see bodies, the entire movie you see bodies, but for the first time you see bodies reflecting outside inside, so you don't know who they are, you know. So that's very ironic, because the idea come from Prandello, six characters searching for an author, if I pronounce it right.
Perfect.
So those characters coming in Prandello, and they say, what you're doing as theater is, sorry for my language, bullshit. You need to do something, a real story, you know. And that I thought, whatever we do inside, you know, Lysistrata, whatever, it's not representing the reality outside. But can we represent the reality outside anyway? So with that question, I thought, imagine people, and it happened always, when you are in the city center, and it happened for myself, like when I was in the city center, I had to knock a door and go get in. So I was in the both positions. You know, I was inside the classroom, people come from outside, and we didn't know who they are. Should we invite them in? Should we trust them? And I was also outside, had no place to go. So I had to go in, you know, I had to knock. I said, can you let me in? And that was the question, who are you? You know, so we had this as a line that, yes, we are part of the street as well, but we are inside in a safe place. What happens if people come from outside? So that was basically how I came to this idea to have this scene and to reflect it the way I explained.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. And, well, about the fact that you have, you know, came back to Iran after long years, and you have mentioned that today's Iran and its young generation are like a point of no return, like you said. So how did you seek to capture this sense of turning and change for you? And I know that may be sound political, but what do you think about what is happening there and how it is represented outside?
So I was inside Iran. I'm not really aware of how it presented outside Iran. I know it was big. I know it was a huge demonstrations everywhere in European parliaments and everywhere. But I was so inside that I distanced myself to that. I wanted to understand myself what's happening. Because in one hand, Tehran was a city of dreams. You know, women finally walked without scarves, and that was a dream you always had, you know. People were dancing on the street, there were men going around with the flowers and chocolates in their hand and hand it over to the young women who were rejected to wear a scarf, you know. So it was a beautiful moment, beautiful moment. No, so suddenly I was in a city that I always dreamed to be in. But then it was also scary. They were killing people. They were torturing people in prison. You heard that. You read the news in internet, and there were police everywhere. So this contradiction again, like a city of dreams and a city which is a military zone, you know. And I was there, you know, after 9 years, and so I had to reflect all of them somehow in my work. And then I have to also add that the theater people were, when I was in Iran, very conservative, apolitical. And in that moment, after 18 years being active in theater scene, I realized how brave they are and how politically engaged they are. They decided to close all the theaters. That was wow for me. Like, it's impossible. That's not the theater scene I knew. And I was very proud to be part of them. And I wanted somehow to reflect that in the movie, that the theater people said no. They rejected in that time. They rejected the censorship. And the underground scene became bigger and bigger. And I was watching theaters in, I don't know what kind, there was a ruined school, there was a rooftop, there was a, you know, parking lot. I saw theaters everywhere. And they were really brave in static, brave in breaking taboos and in many other aspects.
Okay, thank you so much. So, Fred Film Radio, we have been here with Ayad Najafi, director of Aftan Bimashavad, in the Giornate degli Autori section. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.